Greetings. Welcome to Bear Soup. News, interviews, skews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Serratia. We have a packed to the hairy tits show for you, so listen up, bears. In this 82nd serving of Bear Soup, which is sponsored by our literary buds at Bare Bones Books, an appeal to help our friend, Harry Litt. Would Jesse Tyler Ferguson date a bear? The I Am a Man Project. Host Style, a piece from The International Homosexual Conspiracy by Larry Bob Roberts. An excerpt from a novel by Daniel M. Jaffe, The Limits of Pleasure. Chris Lavoie from The Stephanie Miller Show. Letters from Bear Soup listeners. And the usual bear-themed blah-de-blah. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for Bear Soup. The following was posted on CastroBear.com a few weeks ago. Attention bears, Harry needs our help. Earlier this week, while hosting a bear event in Cancun, Mexico, our dear friend Harry Litt became extremely ill. Since Monday, Harry has been in intensive care in a Mexican hospital outside of Cancun. He remains unconscious, and doctors are unsure of what's causing this or how to treat it. Medical tests show some swelling of the brain as well as fluid in his lungs. Given his pre-existing health issues, Harry's San Francisco doctors are anxious to have him back in the Bay Area for treatment. The problem is that Harry must be transported by an air ambulance, which insurance won't cover. The estimated cost of getting Harry home for treatment is $30,000. Over the years, Harry Litt has raised literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to help those in our community in need, and now it's Harry who needs our help. We've set up several ways that you can donate. First, we've set up a PayPal account dedicated to gathering donations for Harry's transpo back to the U.S. On both the Castro Bear website, castrobear.com, and the Lazy Bear site, lazybearweekend.com, you'll find a PayPal donate button where you can contribute using your credit card or PayPal account. If you prefer to donate with a check, you can make it out to the Harry Litt Emergency Fund, 2261 Market Street, number 490, San Francisco, California, 94114. Although your donations are not tax-deductible, please know that 100% of funds raised will go toward getting Harry home. We know that times are tough and money's tight, but Harry has spent the last 25 years of his life building our community and being a positive force in the LGBT community. He has touched our lives and the lives of tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters. He's made a difference. Please, help us get Harry home for treatment. Donate what you can, and, just as importantly, remember Harry and Alan in your thoughts and prayers. And there's a November 5th update on Harry's condition. Slow but steady progress with our bear, Harry. He's out of the ICU and has been placed into a regular room. He'll change rooms again to another part of the hospital in the next few days, according to the nurses, to begin the next stage of his recovery. He wasn't talking much this morning, but Harry's never been much of a morning person. Still, he continues to show strength in his right hand and movement in his left arm. Check out those websites, and please be generous in helping our friend Harry Litt. Next, we have a clip from Watch What Happens, Andy Cohn's very gay show on Bravo, and his two guests are Brad Goreski and scantily bearded star of the ABC hit sitcom Family Man, Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
I Okay, God, we have so many redhead questions for Jesse. I can't believe it. Because I love a ginger.
Yes. I get him. Does it match the drapes? I swear to God, I'm leaving it.
No. Edwin from Astor Place, local question, wants to know, do you think you would date Eric Stone Street Cam in real life? Are you into bears or bigger guys?
This is another question I get a lot. Yeah. Okay. A lot of the bears do come up to me.
And would you date a bear?
Hey, there, Selah. And,
Happy Veterans Day, bear.
Exactly.
Would you date a bear?
From boyfriend to boyfriend, they've all been vastly different. They've all been bears.
Would you date a bear?
If the right one came, I'm not single right now.
If the right one came along.
I don't know. Okay. Yes, is a short answer.
Coming up, we have more with Brad and Jesse. Don't forget to vote in tonight's poll. We want to know if you signed your money.
Next up, we have an announcement about the I Am A Man Project, that is I, spelled E-Y-E, brought to you by the Longwood Arts Gallery, Oso Oro, and Planet Bronx Productions. Be part of I Am A Man, a multimedia art show debuting in New York City, December 2010. The I Am A Man multimedia show, as curated by Ivan Velez, features the visions of various queer artists as they explore the connection of masculinity and sexual orientation as filtered through their own interpretations of their particular ethnic and gender identities. Pieces would include paintings, video, web pages, sculptures, and cartoons as they take on the stereotypes, taboos, and the rules thrust upon them by their own ethnicity, popular culture, social status, and family history, and the way our world denies the masculinity of their gay males. We would love for you to be part of our show. Listed below is what we need from you. Deadlines for submission is November 30th. Images should be in JPEG or TIFF format and not exceed 300 dpi. Video submissions should be 640 by 480 or 320 by 240 in AVI and MPEG formats. What do we aim to do? We will add the photos and videos to a video quilt for our multimedia installation. We want to show the diversity of gay, bi, and trans men and how we are all connected via the internet and pop culture. We understand if you want to obscure your face, but be assured that the video will only be at the art exhibit and not posted on the web. Questions? Contact us at iamaman2011@gmail.com. That is spelled EYEAMAN2011@gmail.com. The tip of the cap to Blaviando blog for that item. The first novel from Bare Bones Books, entitled The Limits of Pleasure, written by Daniel M. Jaffe, is coming out this month. It's the acclaimed novel of a Jewish gay bear's lusty adventures in Amsterdam, now back in print. On Hanukkah Eve, December 1st, 2010, Bare Bones Books, the hairy arm of GLBTIQ publisher Levy Press, will proudly publish its first novel, a reprint of author Daniel M. Jaffe's acclaimed book, The Limits of Pleasure. With great humor and sensitivity, The Limits of Pleasure follows Dave Miller, a sexy 40-year-old bearish man living in Boston, as he survives an escalating skirmish to reconcile his Jewish and gay identities. A year after the death of his Holocaust-surviving grandmother, Dave leaves Boston for Amsterdam, the home of Anne Frank, whom his grandma revered. Dave, feeling undeserving to confront the suffering that grandma endured in the concentration camps, cannot bring himself to visit Anne Frank's house. Angry with himself and the world, Dave repeatedly seeks out risky erotic trysts that mix sacred ritual with profane hedonism, culminating with a sexual epiphany that arrives the night before Hanukkah. When he meets Alexander, a sexually reserved Dutchman of Indonesian heritage with identity conflicts of his own, the relationship shakes both men's lives to their core. The following is an excerpt from the novel The Limits of Pleasure by Daniel M. Jaffe. Seated on his cloth sofa beside the brown leather Oxfords, Dave scratches himself, his crotch through his green jogging shorts, his bare, hairless paunch. He twirls a pinky in his dry belly button, leans forward to the coffee table, presses the remote control mute button so he can hear himself think, shh, to the Olympics, the 1999 Centennial Games, shh, to the muscular gymnasts, hunky men swinging their legs over pommel horses, toes pointed way into the air, hunky men on the high bar. They shoot their legs into the air, but where they land, they know not where. None of them can stick a fucking landing. What's the matter, assholes? Are you blind? Doesn't matter. After the men's routines, their gray-haired, grinning coaches hug 'em tight anyway, hug the muscle men. Older men grabbing the Olympic youths, recapturing their own youths, rejuvenating through the gymnasts, those lucky gymnasts, hugged by their gray-haired coaches with sagging bellies and fleshy tits. Dave lifts the shoes from the sofa to his lap, his father's brown leather, wing-tipped Oxfords with plastic-tipped laces, hard, thin laces Dave has already pulled loose from the eyelets into loops, hoops through which he now pokes his fingers in and out, rank-smelling, bitter-smelling brown leather Oxfords. Loose loops, loose hoops, in and out. The cracked rubber heels scratch the skin of his thighs. Dave rubs the lace-covered leather tongues against his still-soft crotch. The acrid pungency fills his nostrils. He smells it, stares at the yardsight candle on top of the black TV, the off-white wax in a glass. Such a tiny flicker all the way across the room, across the years, but it carries the acrid burning smell as of brown autumn leaves Dad would rake from the front yard into the gutter and set ablaze. The yardsight candle in a glass. No, not the real anniversary of his father's death. Exactly 6 months away, as far away from the true date as possible. Still, today feels like Dad's real death day, even though it's not. Feels like it is in the burn behind Dave's eyes, the medicine ball filling his stomach. Yardsight candle in a glass. Fucking looks like a specimen glass. Shut up, Davy boy. Show respect. Off-white wax that will burn 24 hours. Wax the sallow color of a dead man's face. Dead skin melting in heat, dripping. An anniversary of death candle. Happy anniversary, Dad. Dave slaps himself across the face hard. Don't be an idiot. He shoves the shoes off his lap back onto the sofa. Another slam from his half-drunk glass of Heineken, then slam, glass onto table. His fifth glass. Sixth glass? Seventh glass? How many times has he gone to piss during tonight's Olympics? Another handful of peanuts from the bowl beside the shoes on the sofa. Dave chews and swallows all but one, which he spits into the beer. Hear the plop. Yeah, plop. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, drink your beer and take a whiz. Dave laughs and, with his bare left foot, kicks the remote control off the coffee table. It lands on the green cotton area rug without the crash Dave was listening for. Gotta piss. Starts for the bathroom, then stops, turns. Dave wants God to watch him piss. Back to the living room. To the glass doors. Slides them open. A whoosh of August humidity slaps Dave in the face. Out to the balcony, the acrid smell following on a billow of conditioned air. At the balcony's edge, the very edge, on tiptoe over the guardrail, Dave pulls down his green jogging shorts. Aims at a patch of dry August dirt beside the steamy parking lot tar. He lets loose with a grunt. Looks up. Take that, God, he says now. Bye, pee, he used to say at age 3 when learning to stand at the toilet, learning to hold his penis like Dad. How to pee like a man. One of the few things Dad had time to teach him. Bye, pee, and Davy would wave bye-bye. Dave always waving at Davey from the elementary school's basketball court. Dad playing with other suburban dads while all the other little boys watched. One of Dave's strongest memories. Narrow-hipped Daddy leaping high in his white sneakers. Daddy in sweat-stained t-shirt dribbling the basketball. Broad-shouldered Daddy, all sweaty under his arms, sweaty on the center of his chest, the center of his back. Sweat pasting Daddy's brown bangs to forehead. Dribble, dribble, a steady rhythm as other men hovered round, trying to reach below Daddy's small pot-bellied waist, to reach Daddy's ball, to get their hands on Daddy's big orange ball. Steady bounce. Dribble, dribble, pivot in sneakers, side to the men, back and ass to the men. Dribble, dribble. Daddy moving his big orange ball from left hand to right hand, protecting it. Then the big leap. A leap so high that Daddy's big white sneakers soar 1,000 feet into the air, 1,000,000 feet above every other dad's head. Those amazing athletic Daddy feet. Shoot, Daddy, shoot! Get it in! Big orange ball sails right through the hoop. Score! Davey clapping at Daddy's basket. Thumbs up from Davey. Thumbs up from Daddy. Daddy's heaving chest. Daddy's tired grin at Davey. My number one fan. Daddy giving Davey a hug. Daddy sweaty and smelling like a dad. Victory beer for Daddy. Victory soda pop for Davey. Daddy and Davey. Davey and Daddy. Davey's last memory before his birthday. Daddy and Mommy in a car wreck and fire. Daddy dead. Mommy covered with burns in the hospital for 2 weeks. Mommy dead. Mommy and Daddy gone to God. Dave sticks a single peanut in his mouth, sucks the salt off it, spits it into his beer and listens to the sound. This time, he thinks, it's more pop than plop. Pop goes the peanut. Pop goes the weasel. The weasel goes pop. Pop? Dave looks at the TV screen, at the coaches, squints to see more clearly. Weightlifters. Popeye. Bulging-muscled, spinach-eating Popeye. Pop in the eye of the beholder. Pops in the eye of the beholder. Hug those coaches, boys, Dave mutters to the TV. Dave hated team sports in high school. Didn't mind letting himself down, but hated disappointing the other guys on the team. And Mr. Billings, the gym teacher. Dave dropped fly balls. Dave struck out. Dave served volleyballs into the net. Dave fumbled. Dave fouled. Dave could tumble well on the mats, both forward and backward, but that was all, and who the hell cared? When adjusting the height of the parallel bars, he caught his pinky finger between metal tube and wooden casing. 6 stitches. Nearly castrated himself on the pommel horse. Couldn't hold a position for a millisecond on the rings. Felt too scared to do more than hang on the high bar. He tried the rope once. Hadn't planned to. Feared the rope. Knew he lacked the upper body strength to haul himself, with his wide hips and baby fat, heavy ass, up that rope. But the school's tubby principal had shown up, and this was Dave's chance to inspire pride in Mr. Billings, a husky ex-football player with a muscular, turned-soft chest Dave licked and bit and squeezed in his jerk-off fantasies. So, Dave, in regulation white t-shirt, regulation white shorts, white socks and sneakers, grabbed hold of the rope as he'd watched other boys do, right hand over left. He jumped up, snaked right leg around the rope, pressed left sneaker against the rope against right sneaker, and pulled. To Dave's surprise, he moved upward. "Good boy," said Mr. Billings, suddenly proud of Mr. Billings. "That a boy." Tingling warmth rushed from Dave's crotch to the top of his head. Dave again pushed with feet and pulled with hands, felt the hard rope thick in his hands, the rough, coarse, ribbed, French ticklered, dangling prick he was determined to master for Mr. Billings. Grab. Look up. Pull. Push. Hand over hand. Fist over fist, clenching that thick, hard rope, that thick, long rope, rubbing against Dave's crotch. Grab and yank that hard rope. Grab and... Just before reaching the top, Dave felt a burst of weariness, a sudden realization of what he was doing. Exhaustion. Don't push, Mr. Billings called up. You did great. Don't need to go all the way. Come on down. In bed that night, unable to masturbate at thoughts of Mr. Billings, Dave wondered at his own stupidity. Why hadn't he thought just to reverse the motion, to push the rope with his hands, to move his hands one beneath the other, to clamp the thick rope with his feet for balance? He'd seen other boys do it. Come on down. No, Davy wasn't so stupid as to jump down from so many feet. 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet, how many feet? In the air, but he was stupid enough. He screamed as he slid down the thick, hard rope, as he burned palms and right thigh raw. Now Dave looks at the shoes. Yard sight. Respects to Dad. Don't be an idiot. On every death anniversary, Grandma would take Davy to synagogue to recite Kaddish. Every year, year after year, yard sight, candle for Dad, and Kaddish. 2 weeks later, yardside candle for Mom and Kaddish. Candles and Kaddish. Candles and Kaddish, Dave sings on the sofa. Candles and Kaddish go together like a horse and carriage. Dave slaps himself again. No Kaddish after Grandma died 2 months ago. No more ancient Aramaic glorification of a god Dave has never been sure he believes in. Maybe fears, but does not like. Yet, here it was, the half-year away from Dad's real yard site, the real yard site that was also Dave's birthday. Here was Dad's brand-spanking-new yard site, Dad's new death day, as declared by Dave. Dave had to do something, something special for Dad. So, Dad's shoes, the only dad clothes Davy was able to sneak out of the cartons before Grandma gave them all away to charity. Dad's shoes out from the back of Dave's closet, polished now with Dave's very own t-shirt and spit. And the yardside candle and the centennial games. Dave sees, against the flames of Dad's candle, old shadows of him and his dad, shadows which never were except in his mind. Dave drinks and sees the shadows form into clear, interlocking silhouettes. Don't be an idiot! He hurls the beer bottle across the room, crashes it against the wall behind the TV. Shit! 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 Beer drips down the wall behind athletes and Dad's candle, and Dave thinks of the idea that he has been evolving over time, nudging him at night when he turns away from the shadows in bed. An idea that feels right, but has always struck him as frighteningly strange. More an impulse than a thought shaped by impulse. An impulse and idea rising like gray smoke from char. Sniffing the shoes deeply, he smells their bitterness, the candle's acrid pungency, looks around to reassure himself that nothing's on fire. The yardside candle. Would Dad like the idea? Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. Please check out their fine titles, such as Dan Jaffe's The Limits of Pleasure, at barebonesbooks.com. That's spelled BEARBONESBOOKS. The following clip is from The Stephanie Miller Show, with also the voice of her very handsome Muscle Bear producer, Chris Lavoie. Did I mention that Stephanie Miller came out earlier this year? The Bear Soup podcast. Just love her all the more. Chris recently had his photo taken for the No Hate Project, and you can find a link to it on bearsouppodcast.net. Check it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, a woman was bitten by a bear. Her fingers, well, she actually lost a couple of fingers. Ooh. Alcohol, you may be surprised to know, played a factor.
Of course.
Police say a bear bit off a woman's fingers at a Wisconsin zoo after she ignored barriers and warning signs to try to feed the animal. I think it pretty explicitly says, do not feed the bears. But, you know, you've had a couple of shots and...
Yeah, signs become irrelevant.
Exactly. Yeah. The bears look hungry. There you go. That did not have a happy ending. She's fine. Hassan's a few fingers.
I see. Okay.
And then she has to tell that story for the rest of her life. Yes, I tried to feed a bear. You're not supposed to feed a bear, you know. Yeah, I know. I tried to feed a bear. Okay. You are an idiot!
It's Bear Soup with Ron Soreshall.
Letters, we get letters, we get stacks and stacks of letters.
Letters, letters, letters. Yes, we do get letters. Some of them nice, some of them not so nice. Here's one in the latter category. This was sent from someone named Jerry. The subject, your Bear Soup program on Bear Radio. And the email goes, I need your help. I listen to Bear Radio most of the time. Do you know of a computer program that will automatically mute my computer while your program is on? Frankly, I have never heard so much crap from any other source, and I damn near break my leg getting to the mute button. Thanks for your help in this matter in advance. Signed, Doc.
Oh, you little bitch troll from hell.
Well, Doc, thanks for writing. I suspect that you're actually not listening to the program, but in any case, here's my advice. I suggest that you get one of those travel alarm clocks, you know, the kind that fits in the palm of your hand. And set the alarm for Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 p.m., and then take that alarm clock and stick it up.
What's up, Doc?
That way you can be sure that you'll never break your leg trying to get to the mute button. And thanks for the nice letter, Doc. And here's another letter from a new listener by the name of Sinan in Houston. He writes, I really enjoy your show and the website as well. The trustworthiness of beards is one of the most truthful and funny things I've seen as far as facial hair goes. Cheers to you. Thank you very much for the letter, Sinan. And if you have comments, criticisms, or questions about Bear Soup, feel free to write me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Can't promise that it'll get onto the show, but always appreciate hearing from you.
I'm not one that has to keep talking. Some fellas just have to keep their mouths flapping, but not me. I was brought up right. My pa used to tell me, shut up, and I'd shut up. I wouldn't say nothing. One time darn near starved to death. Wouldn't tell him I was hungry.
Thanks for listening to Bear Soup, episode number 82. I'm your host, Ron Suresha. Shout out to Marco Rosato, a musician I met during Spooky Bear, whom I hope will add his tunes to the great lineup of music on Bear Radio. You can find Marco's music on CD Baby. Thanks, music by the Mermen and Perry Como. Thanks to Joe of BearRadio.net. As always, thanks to my husband, Rocco. Check out the Bear Soup page on our brand spanking new home blog, www.bearsouppodcast.net. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bear Bones Books, also on Facebook. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for any of the content of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and always remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.